Welcome to Tea Time. This is a weekly pop culture podcast on the Ringer Podcast Network. I'm Liz Kelly.
I'm Kate Alwell.
And I'm Amelia Wedmeyer. And today we're checking in with actual celebrity news because it's been a couple weeks and we are itching to talk about D-list celebrities. then every relationship we missed from last week. And then we're also talking about freaking Jerry O'Connell.
It's a freaking classic Tea Time episode. You guys, we're running it back. We're like in our zone. We got things to talk about. Quickly, but first, check out my two wonderful co-hosts this week. Amelia was on Bachelor Party on Tuesday talking about mid-season Bachelor superlatives with Juliet.
Apparently, and I was too mean though, so just forewarning.
No, yeah, that doesn't sound like you.
Never.
And then Kate wrote a piece on theringer.com about Florence Pugh and Black Widow, including some spoilers, not for that movie, but the movie before. Didn't realize.
Listen, if Liz has not seen Avengers Endgame at this point in her life, she's not going to see it. So sorry, yeah, but
whatever. Tough loss. Anyway, you can find that piece on theringer.com. And before we get into the show, let's take a quick break.
This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower what's next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client.
Hey, I have a secret. I use Secret Whole Body Deodorant because more than just my armpits stink.
Can I use it where my bra rubs under my...
Oh, yeah.
And what about down there? You know, my...
Totally. 4 out of 5 gynecologists would recommend it. So I tried it, and now I get 72 hours of freshness from my pits to my...
Ooh, I love that it's a spray.
Me too. And it comes in sticks and creams too. Go get your Secret Whole Body Deodorant.
All right, you guys, Tea Time is checking in with actual celebrity events. Very exciting stuff. First, Emmy nominations. Kate, take it away.
Just some highlights. We got a lot to get through today, so I'm just going to rattle them off. First of all, thrilled for Bowen Yang on SNL. He is so funny. He's the only person whose content I consume on SNL. Yeah. I watch his clips every time they come up. He did that iceberg impression on Weekend Update that truly was like the only piece of SNL content that I thought was funny or at least have seen this year. Amelia, I know he had something that you really liked too, right?
Okay, you need to check out his Fran Lebowitz impression. That killed me.
He is so funny and so deserving of this. So that's very exciting. Also, MJ Rodriguez is the first trans woman nominated for a major acting Emmy for a lead actress in a drama for Pose, which is thrilling. And then also Emma Corrin, who I loved in The Crown as Princess Diana. They came out as non-binary this month and they are nominated in the same category. So just great stuff. We love to see the gender nonconforming actors just sort of pushing the norms, you know, making the Television Academy adapt with us and the rest of society. You love to see it. However, Television Academy, I love The Crown as much as anyone. But Claire Foy was on this season of The Crown for like literally 2 minutes in a flashback. And they gave her an Emmy nomination for a guest role. And I understand like that's what this category is. It's like for little tiny roles. I know Don Cheadle also got one for like Winter Soldier, which like he was barely in. But you just get off Claire Foy's dick. Like, I don't know what else to say. Like, she has done nothing since The Crown. You do not have to give her a nomination every single time she breathes. Like, it's fine. Move on.
Sorry. A spicy way to start this podcast. But yes, I do agree. Also, yay to Pen15. That was like one of my favorite shows I watched in recent memory. It was nominated for an Outstanding Comedy Series. Do I think that the two lead actresses, Maya and Anna, deserved individual nominations? Yes, they do, but they were not. So we're going to celebrate the show itself and then hope for future seasons, more nominations. But this might be an appropriate time for me to possibly air my really shitty Ted Lasso take because this fucking show swept these nominations.
You got
Jason Sudeikis as lead actor, obviously, got nominated for Outstanding Comedy Series. 4 supporting actor nominations, including like the assistant coach, 2 of the player, the guy, like, and then you got 2 supporting actress nominations, all for Ted Lasso. And I know, so this premiered obviously in a dark time in the world, and I know everyone needed it, but there, I just saw through it and was like, you guys, if this came out in any other year, I'm not sure it would have the world in the chokehold that it currently
Interesting.
Does.
Interesting.
So you didn't like it as much as everyone else? I have not seen it because I'm Team Harry.
Damn.
I'm Team Harry Styles. So I just am not in a point in my life to
it's
be supporting
on my list
Jason
because
Sudeikis.
I got a free year subscription to Apple TV.
Right.
So I'm like, I'm going to do it one of these days.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to get to it as well.
Okay.
Well, maybe not though.
Well, this is falling on deaf ears, I guess. But yes, it was really feel good, quote unquote. And you guys know how I feel about those shows, like Schitt's Creek. And it's like, we just got to be smarter than that. We don't need these as much as they need us, you guys. It's like, they've got us in a bind. I don't know.
I just love how you're like, no feel good shows ever.
I know. And I too was depressed. You'd think I would be enamored with that show, but it didn't do it for me. And I want more for us than Ted Lasso.
I get it.
Anyway, let's move on before any Ringer people hear me say that. Amelia, what do you have for Emmy noms?
You know, I guess all I really heard about was that Elizabeth Olsen and WandaVision, along with all the Winter Soldier stuff, which, I mean, I only watched WandaVision, but she got nominated. So did Paul Bettany and Catherine Hahn. So happy I'm really happy for Elizabeth Olsen because I think she's great. And, you know, congrats to Marvel because I think this is what they wanted and they got it. So.
Yeah. It does make me a little scared of Marvel continuing to take over pop culture. It's
totally.
They used to just have movies. Like now they're also have Emmy nominations. Like what's next? The Tonys? What are we doing here? Where does it end? I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
That's a great question.
Spider-Man did try to go on Broadway, didn't they?
I know. I was going to say that. And I was like, that's a deep cut, actually. And I'm not going to. But thank you for adding.
I think it was one of the worst reviewed Broadway shows of all time.
Everyone got hurt. Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who knows? Who knows?
Also, I may need to get back into The Handmaid's Tale. Again,
Ooh,
I was depressed
you?
And gave it some time off for myself because I couldn't go into that world. But that also swept outstanding drama. Elizabeth Moss as lead actress, 3 supporting actor nominations, 4 supporting actress nominations. It was in every freaking, it was everywhere. So debating now that I'm in a better headspace, maybe I can dive back to Gilead, not sure. And then very quickly watch I May Destroy You, nominated for Outstanding Limited Series. Talked about it on the pod before. And then Amelia, quick ad.
Sorry,
I just added,
yes. I'm not to be let me once again talk about how much I hate the Bachelor franchise. And yes, I know I'm mean about that, but someone has to be, okay? How did freaking Caitlin Bristow get 2 nominations for her goddamn... If she wins for 2 of her Dancing with the Stars performances, I... Will.
You could be Emmy nominated for that?
Yeah, apparently. She got 2 nominations for 2 dances. I hate it.
Wow.
You can get an Emmy for anything these days.
You really can.
Okay, let's move on. Let's talk about Cannes. I'm going to give this to Kate because I think she's more tuned in than I am about this entire ecosystem. Go ahead, Kate.
Guys, Cannes Film Festival actually happened. Celebrities were on red carpets, wearing clothes, talking to each other, taking pictures with each other, watching movies together. Which is just a thrilling, thrilling development. And I got so many messages because I did not even realize there was going to be a red carpet with Timothée Chalamet on it, but there was. And he wore a glittery gold suit. And people were like, Kate, what are your thoughts? And I was like, I didn't even know that this was a possibility in this world again, but it is.
Damn.
And it was so beautiful to log on Twitter and see Timothée Chalamet and Tilda Swinton, who are both in The French Dispatch, which is a Wes Anderson movie, just making the rounds, doing the red carpets, wearing the clothes, posing together. And I feel like the Venn diagram of people who love Timmy and love Tilda are just a circle. It's just everyone who loves both of them. It's just skinny, androgynous people who wear good clothes. And I am in that circle. And it was just great. They are just living it up in Cannes. And I was like, wow, celebrity life has returned to where I want it to be personally. Relatedly, they got a standing ovation for The French Dispatch at Cannes. And, you know, the ovations are crazy long. And so Tilda Swinton was messing around. She put her name thing on from her chair on Timothée Chalamet's back and was turning him around to the camera. And I was like, oh, this is cute. But the only reason they're doing this is because these ovations last for 10 minutes at a time. They stand there. People clap. People keep clapping. They keep standing there. People look awkward. They go back and forth. During the ovation for Annette, which Amelia's going to talk about in a moment, Adam Driver like lit a cigarette and was like standing there smoking. He was like, I don't know what happened to make these ovations so long. Like, how do people know that they just can't stop? When does it end?
That's Kate, a great question. We have no answers for you. I don't know.
It's like my secondhand. It's like when people sing happy birthday to you. But like if that went on for 10 minutes at a time and you were just forced to stand there with cameras on you while people stood there and you couldn't sit down and people couldn't stop clapping. And it's like just literally my nightmare. I hate the videos of them. I hate like the idea of having to participate in any of them. Like I would just walk out. I would leave. I don't know how that became a thing, but it's my nightmare. And then also from Cannes, just like a little cursed nugget of news, there is a movie about Celine Dion, but it's kind of an unauthorized movie about Celine Dion. And it's called Aline because they could not get the legal rights to use Celine Dion's name in what is objectively like a biopic about her life. Okay?
Oh my God, wait, I didn't know that's why it was called Aline.
Yes. So it has Clever. Her songs. It's literally about Celine Dion, but it's called Aline because like they couldn't get her name. So she is played by 57-year-old director Valerie Lemercier, okay? And this woman plays Celine Dion at every stage of her life, including as a child. And this is coming from Kyle Buchanan, who is reporting from Cannes. And he wrote, shrunk to hobbit size and face tuned into near oblivion, Lemercier scampers, preens, and unnerves. I've never seen anything quite like it. Literally, this 57-year-old woman is CGI'd onto the body of a 5-year-old, a preteen, a child, every stage throughout fake Celine Dion's life. It'd be like if you shrunk Rami Malek and made him play his own teeth in Bohemian Rhapsody. I'm like, I have to see it. Like this.
Yeah.
It sounds like something that Stefan made up on SNL. Like this could not be real. True. This movie has everything.
Wow.
Yeah. Just like insane choices made there. Why not cast a real child? Don't know.
I hope this opens the door for similar movies. Like this is a new genre or something.
Why?
You know? Like, because I don't know. I mean, it's like, have you seen, what's that one movie? Benjamin Button, where they have Brad Pitt as an old man, but he's actually young.
That is similar to this, I think, where Brad Pitt is like the old man, and but he's like put in his face on everything.
Yeah.
Kate, right. Did you see that tweet? That's like Renesmee is shaking. Yeah,
that was my tweet, Elizabeth.
It was.
I tweeted that. Yeah,
that's really funny.
Get back on Twitter. Your name. I was like, this is very Renesmee, like the creepy face on the like eternal ageless toddler.
That's actually so funny. That was
yours. That is really funny.
Oh my God. Well, good tweet, anyway, Kate. Good tweet.
Scary stuff. Scary stuff coming out of Cannes.
Oh my God. Wow. Well, another, I don't think it's scary, but it seemed like I saw the trailer and I was like, ooh, I'm kind of scared, but also intrigued. I am so excited for Annette, which apparently got a long-standing ovation.
Yes.
Right, Kate? Yeah, okay. And it is, I guess it's like kind of a musical, but like a fantasy film starring Adam Driver and, but what's her name? Oh my God. I'm really blanking out. Thank you. Marion Cotillard. It's just been, you know, too long since talking about
celebrities. Real
news.
Celebrities. I know.
Yeah. And they have like a child together and the child, I guess, has like a mysterious special gift. And I've been trying to find out more about this child who they name Annette, but no one seems to know. So I'm like very excited to find out what Annette has. And like, is she like half changeling or like what's going on here? So really excited. Yeah, I'm really excited. And apparently Adam Driver either sings about going down on a woman or sings to a woman's vagina. So
I think it's the latter.
Okay.
I think it's a like a simultaneous singing.
Oh.
Yeah. Situation.
Okay. Cool.
But I also, we're going to have to see the movie to find out.
I guess right. So. Wow. Just take a pause there. And then now we're going to move on. I know that my news bubble is just absolutely fucked because the only thing I saw come out of Cannes after you guys were talking about the movies, the appearances, the state ovation, all I saw was about Bella Hadid was there. Like, wow. Bella Hadid wears tiny bikini out boyfriend boating with boyfriend in Cannes. How right. Bella Hadid got ready for Dior in Cannes. Like, that was all I saw. And she did, she turned heads in a brass long necklace in Cannes. So that actually made big news, this outfit that she wore. And she does, I mean, she rocks a red carpet, but I was disappointed in myself that this has been accidentally the news that I've curated for myself. I feel like Sean Fennessy would be very disappointed in me.
I always feel that way. Yeah. You know, it'd be a boring podcast if we all had the same exact news bubbles.
Yes. So okay. I want more from me, though. As a film major, now I've just surrounded myself with Bella Hadid news.
It's tough. That's tough.
Sad. Okay, let's move on. This is Not Worth the Tea this week in social media. Like, a little miscellaneous. Really excited for this first piece of news. Kate.
Guys, JoJo Siwa has just fulfilled her gay destiny and dominated the MLB celebrity softball game. Thrilling stuff. I first saw pictures of her in her softball uniform, and it was like seeing a whale return to the ocean, you know, like it, like it's like it was just meant to be. I was so happy for her. She's got her little French braids, her little sparkly clips, her softball uniform. She's like sliding into a base. I was like, JoJo, aww, you are in your natural habitat. And she did dominate. She hit a double off Quavo.
Wow.
Wow. Good for her. Sentence.
Oh, you love to see it. And yeah, there were just pictures of her everywhere because she just like was having a great time.
That's
just
awesome.
Incredible athletic performance from JoJo and just really exciting stuff.
Did you see the MLB posted a slow-mo video of her walking up to play? And of course, all the teenagers are on TikTok. Like, did MLB just post a thirst trap of JoJo Siwa on their account? You should watch it. It's slow-mo. I mean, she looks amazing, but it's like much.
They understand. They're like, she is finally where she belongs on the softball pitch.
That's
great
true.
Stuff.
That's true.
Next one.
Well, on that note, on the sports note, but also using celebrities to kind of further your own agenda and get more eyes on it, I'm interested in what you guys think because Addison Rae, the TikToker, she was invited by UFC, which is Ultimate Fighting, to do some interviews. And I guess she tweeted a couple of photos of herself holding a mic and being like all happy. And with it had the caption, "I studied broadcast journalism in college for 3 whole months to prepare for this moment." And people got super upset. They got so angry when she posted this because they said it was a really flippant comment and that there were real journalists out there who can't get actual jobs and that she was essentially stealing the job from a qualified journalist, despite, you know, not only having gone to broadcast journalism school for 3 months. And here's the thing. I can understand why people were upset. I get that. Okay. Yes. She might have, you know, the comment was a little flippant, but I kind of thought it was kind of funny. I don't know. Well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for finding it funny. But the thing is, they give up and coming celebrities jobs like this literally all the time. Mm-hmm. All the time. Like, look at, I mean, I'm not even joking. Just look anywhere online. Look on Page Six. Look on Just Jared. They give celebrities and social media stars jobs like this all the time. And it's not like she is, you know, employed as a UFC commentator. This was just like a couple time
gig. It was a one-off thing. Yeah. She's a talking head. It's what they do. Like, she's she's not the new crime reporter for the New York Times. Like, can we relax? Yeah.
Exactly. She was just like interviewing people and just being there to get UFC's name out because she's super famous and they wanted, you know, more clicks, which I get that. Right. That's kind of how media works. And anyway, she was, you know, just joking. And then she followed up with the tweet that I actually thought was funny. And I was like, wow, okay, she or her social media person is funnier than I thought. And it was, never mind, y'all got me fired. And I was like, nice.
That is funny.
However, then we immediately turned on her, right?
But then, afterwards, I immediately turned on her because if you're going to hate her for anything, hate her for I think it was the same event because it was at a UFC fight with like Conor McGregor. She was videotaped by another YouTuber coming up to Donald Trump saying, "I had to say hi. It's so nice to meet you." And this confirms the long-held belief that she's a Trump supporter after her voting record was leaked and then she allegedly had a photo in her bedroom that featured a Trump flag. So
Just an insane choice. You know people are videotaping you. You know there are cameras everywhere. And you're like, there's Donald Trump. I have to go introduce myself and say hi.
Right.
Like,
exactly. The people in that video capture it well because they are obviously reacting in real time because it kind of pans back to the people right behind them. Mm-hmm. And they are so shocked. Their jaws are literally open because they're like, I cannot believe this is just happening. So like she's going to
so
be
openly
this brazen. Like it was really,
it is a choice. And again, it's like, if you're gonna hate her for anything, don't hate her for some dumb joke that like is stupid.
Yeah,
hate her for being a Trump supporter.
Right.
So
dumb. There we go. That's what we hate her for now. Don't hate her for stealing broadcast jobs.
Exactly.
And she's all that, whatever that movie is. Yeah. All right.
Well,
next one. We might
hate her for that too.
You never know. You never know. Also, but a celebrity that should never be canceled, Ashley Olsen. You know, the Olsen twins love hiding out, which I totally get because they're fashion designers. They're not actresses anymore. But Ashley Olsen recently popped up on her boyfriend's Instagram, and Page Six had an iconic headline that just read, Ashley Olsen goes hiking with a drink in one hand and a machete in the other. And it's literally a picture of Ashley Olsen. She's just walking through the woods. She's got a machete, like a giant machete in one hand, and what appears to be like, you know, some beer or some wine in the other. And I love this for her. I love this angle. And this is the energy that I'm not only trying to bring this summer, but just in general, like in life, you know?
This is such a special genre of like chaotic celebrity instant meme, where it's like, it reminds me of like the picture where I think it was Jonah Hill, where he was on the streets of New York and it was right as he dropped his iced coffee.
Yes. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
Like that one, the Robert Pattinson picture where he's standing in the kitchen in his tracksuit. Like there are just certain celebrity images that just immediately become like, you're like, yes.
Yeah.
You know, and this machete drink hike is just an instant addition to that pantheon. So just really great stuff.
It's great. Yeah, we don't really know what she's doing, why she's there, but it's just happening.
No,
and I'm into it.
That makes it so much better. We just know so little.
Yeah. We don't need to know.
Yeah. Lastly, we're pouring one out. We want to say rest in peace to Twitter Fleets. We hardly knew ye. You were around for such a small amount of time.
Liz Kelly definitely did not know ye.
Did not at all. But they're going away on August 3rd. And then Twitter's replacing that space with it's actually called Spaces. And it's the live audio chat room that they're featuring.
Love that you put this in here as if you have any interaction with any of it.
You know what? Does anyone have any interaction with Fleets? I don't think so.
I did do like a Fleet. I ignore them completely. Like the first week it came out, I was like, maybe I'll be into this, and then everyone was like, no. Which is why
you guys was it you guys speaking or was it a
no? It was like Instagram stories, so it was like you could put your tweets or put pictures or whatever, and it would come across the top like an Instagram story, and then it would disappear in 24 hours, and it was just totally useless. They just tried to rip off Instagram, and it didn't work.
Yeah. I just put a picture of like Guy Fieri because I was watching his grocery games show. So,
Okay, well, rest in peace. Okay, this category is now for everything else we can't believe we missed last week. This is like, there's so much relationship news that has been happening. We have a lot in here. It's going to be pretty rapid fire.
Rapid fire,
at least some of mine. So, yes, this is relationship news we missed last week. Go.
Guys, you know that I had to talk about Harry Styles and Olivia Wilde on a yacht. Mm. Anytime Harry Styles gets on a yacht with a woman, it's just like the richest genre of tech. Like there's just so much to process for me. And this past week, Harry Styles and Olivia Wilde were pictured in Monte Argentario in Southern Tuscany. And a lot of PDA. She was reading her book. They were making out. They were swimming. They were boating. They were scantily clothed. Just want to say, side note, Harry looks great. He got really jacked for his role in a movie where apparently he has like a lot of sex scenes. So he just looks great. But this gave me a lot of like dredged up old memories of the 2016 Kendall Jenner, Harry Styles yacht.
Yes, I was hoping you'd bring that up.
Yacht series of images, which was when they were on a yacht with Ellen and Portia in St. Bart's. And it was like the original, like, lots of pictures of Harry and Kendall making out on the yacht. This is just Amelia's natural reaction to Kendall and Harry.
That, and also because it reminded me of, you know, that picture of Taylor Swift going away on another boat where she's just secluded by herself because she was on the yacht. You don't. Oh, you.
She was on that yacht.
No, she was on a different yacht with Harry, but then she left. Do you remember?
Like early, like early days, like Harry Styles, Taylor Swift days.
Yeah, but like it was like right as they broke up, and she had to like leave on another boat because like he was like, get off my yacht.
See, I'm telling you, Harry Styles and yachts are just, it just is always wild. No pun intended. But yeah, anyway, I had a lot of feelings about this. There were a lot of pictures of this. And I'm still Team Harry. Sorry. Everyone is like feeling bad for Jason Sudeikis right now, but I just can't. Oh. I'm very loyal to my guy. So I'm glad he's happy and I'm glad that Olivia's happy. In other celebrity news that I kind of can't believe happened for real, Zendaya and Tom Holland were just spotted like making out at an intersection. Just as you do. Co-stars and pals hanging out, swap and spit.
Okay.
Several years ago, like when they started starring in these movies together, people were like, they're dating. They hang out. They've been seen together. They're together. And I was like, okay, like they're just co-stars. Relax. Like Zendaya is an all-star. Tom Holland is just some guy. I mean, he's fine. He's cute. He's great. But I was like, this is not real. And now apparently they're dating.
Or they've been dating for a while.
That was my question. Was like, is this real? Is this real?
That is the question. The timing is weird because they've known each other for so long. They've started movies together for so long. They've both like dated other people. She definitely has dated other people. And now they're dating. And it's just like, I don't know. I have a lot of questions.
Me too. Well, isn't the new Spider-Man movie coming out in
eventually? I mean, we don't even have a trailer yet for it, which I was like, if a trailer comes out soon, then I'm going to be extra suspicious of this relationship. But, you know, I like both of them. Do I think she could probably do better? Yes. But like, he's great. He's nice.
He seems fun.
I like when a tall girl dates like a short king. So, you know, he's like 5'8", like solidly 5'8". And she's like 5'11". And that's great. Wear some lifts, Tom Holland, and it'll be fine.
Okay. I do like that. Even if it is for publicity, I do like this relationship more than what I thought was fake and now is maybe real. Shawn Mendes and Camila Cabello. Right. Like they are still dating after 2 years. So I kind of stand corrected on that.
We've had to accept that one, I think.
Right. And so I like this better, but I don't love it. Yeah.
They're both really likable. They just like have friend vibes to me. You know, like I don't know that I'm like, wow, they have so much chemistry.
Yeah.
I like them together as a couple and as pals. So
there have been now this video circulating of them and the whole ensemble cast in some late night TV show. They're all on a couch. And Tom Holland says something like very mildly funny. And Zendaya is like cracking up, like literally loses her shit. And everyone was like, oh, maybe this crush is real. You always think people are like way funnier when you have like a little thing for them. So maybe.
We'll keep an eye on it.
I like them together. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're cute.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Next one, photos. I feel like photos are everywhere, catching people now that people are out and about. Olivia Rodrigo has a new boyfriend, apparently. She was spotted first at the Space Jam 2 premiere together, and then they were caught kissing by the paparazzi. His name is Adam Faze. He's a music video producer, 24. They, quote, met through industry friends, which makes complete sense that he's a music video producer. And they've been dating for a couple months, apparently. So, okay, sure. That's fine. I know, Kate, you wanted her to be with someone and then break up and then have another album. So does this make you happy?
Here's my take. Listen, Olivia, you're young. Like, whoever you're dating now is not going to be the love of your life. Like, you're not going to marry them.
Let's hope now's
the time to capitalize on your stardom, capitalize on your heartbreak, date someone super fucking famous who's like kind of an asshole who will, you know, you can date him for a couple months, be everywhere, get more famous, dump him, make an album about him. And become a superstar. You know, like take one for the team. Now is not the time to try to find your husband. Now's the time to advance your career and date someone famous.
So you want her with who's even like Jacob Elordi if he wasn't with Kaya Gerber?
Or someone like, age appropriate but famous.
That's
and
what
young.
I'm trying to think. Yeah,
I was going to say age appropriate because like I just think, wait, she's 19, right?
Yeah, she's really young.
She's 18 or 19, and it's just like I understand that they're like celebrities and they're in that sphere or whatever, but it's just like 18 and 24 is a really, those are two very different times in life.
Find
and
like
I just,
a Yeah, just like find like a, you know, Stranger Things cast member or like a young Netflix Euphoria cast member. I don't know. Someone age appropriate, someone famous, someone nice. Date him, dump him, write an album. Boom.
You know who he kind of looks like? He kind of looks like a background actor for like a Twilight movie. A background vampire.
I like he's Twilight,
not,
Milia.
He's not giving me much.
That's why I say background Twilight vampire.
Right. Right. More importantly, I think as we talk about Olivia Rodrigo, is that she went to the White House and advocated for vaccinations in young adults and teens, which I just thought was super fucking cool, and she looked great.
Yeah. She did.
So yeah. All right, we can keep going with these people. So Bella Hadid was photographed, you guessed it, in Cannes.
Bella Hadid again.
I know. Nothing to be too excited about, but she was like, they formally have announced their relationship. She Instagrammed him. It's this guy named Mark Kalman. Apparently, they've been dating for like over a year because they started dating in the pandemic. They could sneak around. Obviously, it was all through closed doors. He is an art director who has worked with Travis Scott for years. Apparently, he did album artwork for Travis Scott, and he works on his branding in general, and I think does a bunch of other stuff. It's one of those guys, you know, kind of artistic and everywhere. But they made a huge point to sneak around. I was reading all this stuff about if they went out, he would come out first, get in the car, then she got, then they would drive to a location, drop him off, and then all these things, which is like, okay, Mark Kalman, you know, it's like exciting, but not that, I mean, I don't know, I'm not that excited
about
you two.
Well, I was going to be like, it's just Bella Hadid, but I mean, Liz obviously is very up to date on her comings and goings, so somebody cares.
Let me tell you, they have been gallivanting around Cannes everywhere. So, yeah, I guess that's good. And then also, you guys, I do love them, but we got to get out of the news so I can continue to like them because they're kind of wearing on me. And this is Travis Barker and Kourtney Kardashian. Now there are rumors of marriage, of a baby, of all types of things because they went to the strip in Vegas. Her hairstylist posted like a very cryptic Instagram, said like, now I understand why people tie the knot in Vegas. There's nothing like love and a good time. Posted a ring emoji, a chapel emoji, and then went back and deleted it later, changed the caption. And then Travis Barker's daughter, Alabama, posted a photo of the two of them and was like, I'm so happy for you guys.
Oh.
So I don't know.
Huh.
Wow.
I don't know. But they have been headlining every freaking article that I've read in the last several months. Like, they have to lay low for like a single minute so I can take a breath and continue to like them. I do still like them, but it's like a lot.
Yeah,
right,
they've been on like 5 tea times in a row of us just being I'm glad
it's
you're
my
in love.
Fault.
It's their own fault. I'm glad that they're in love, but like it's just take a couple's vacation.
They're always
away.
Like sucking face, and it's just like wow.
Yes, or
we
other
get
things.
It.
Remember the
Correct.
Finger?
Well, okay.
How could you forget? lastly, very quickly, I've got no other info, but Ashley Graham is pregnant with baby number 2, and that's nice for her. So yeah, that's all I've got. I'm gonna hand it back to Kate.
All right, back to me. The Weeknd was spotted twice recently with Angelina Jolie. Now, before we get too into it, read a lot of articles. A lot of people just think it's like, was a business dinner and then like a chance sighting. However, they could be dating. I have given up trying to understand why people like The Weeknd. Not people, why women like to date The Weeknd, because apparently they do. Obviously, I don't want people like to date Angelina Jolie. Like, that one's a given. But first, June 30th, Angelina and The Weeknd were spotted dining together, quote, 4 hours at Giorgio Baldi in Santa Monica. But they arrived separately. They left separately. People were like, it was a business dinner, like not a big deal. Then there were all these articles where they were like, Angelina Jolie and The Weeknd go to a party together. And I was like, oh, my God, like this is actually happening. And then I read it and they were both seen at a party together. But they were not seated together. They did not interact. And Angelina Jolie was there with two of her daughters. So I was like, guys, this isn't a date. Like, we don't need to pretend that it is. But yeah, he has like a lyric about Angelina Jolie where it's like lips like Angelina. Oh. So people were like trying to make that into something. I was like, you know what? Let's just hang tight. Like, if they go on an actual date, like, let me know. Yeah. But until then, I don't think I'm going to be...
I don't think I believe
this. But again, like, you know, Angelina Jolie's in The Eternals, which is a Marvel movie coming out soon.
Right.
So, like, it is about the time for her to be like making like a big celebrity on the town comeback. I don't know that I would choose the weekend for her to do that with, but you never know. You never know.
Why not?
We'll see. Yeah.
We'll see.
All right, Amelia, what do you have?
So I feel like this was actually even before last week, but we just missed it because
we're just catching up.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. Renee Zellweger and Aunt Anstead. Two-time Oscar winner Renee has been photographed all over town with Aunt Anstead, which is a great name one. But you might ask, who the hell is Aunt Anstead? Well, let me tell you. Yes. Aunt is a motorsports guy who was recently married to Christina on the Coast, a.k.a. Christina Hack, formerly Christina Anstead, formerly Christina El Moussa, who is a big star on HGTV. Yeah. So again, we need to, these HGTV stars are really becoming huge celebs.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow, that was
they really are.
Because she was married to Tarek, who's now dating the
Selling Sunset.
Sunset.
Mm. Yep. So, and they share, her and Tarek share like, I think two kids or something, but she had a kid with Aunt as well. And they were only married for like a couple years. Anyway, Aunt hosts Wheeler Dealers on their Motor Trend channel, which I know of because my mom is obsessed with that show. So I have seen it a couple times with her. And she has been following Aunt for a while now. So I think she's overjoyed at this union. Anyway, he met Renee, yes, on the set of the upcoming Discovery Plus series, Celebrity IOU Joyride, which is a spinoff of the Property Brothers Celebrity IOU show.
Wow. This has so many layers.
I know. So I'm just saying, HGTV stars, they're big now.
They're,
Amelia, this is a much richer text than I anticipated.
Wow,
when this, I saw this in the outline.
I'm in awe.
Yeah. So I don't, I mean, it's wild because, you know, Zooey Deschanel, she's with one of the Property Brothers. That's Renee is now with Aunt.
They're infiltrating the A-list.
Seriously. So who will be next? I don't know. But
we have to stop them before it's too late.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry. That was just in case anyone was seeing his name and going, who is this Aunt Anstead? Well, don't worry. I got you covered. Next, Tom Cruise and Hayley Atwell?
I'm so worried about this.
Run! Yeah. No, I'm kidding. Tom Cruise, he was spotted at Wimbledon with Hayley Atwell. And they are. She is his co-star in the new Mission Impossible movie. And I guess now she's his rumored new girlfriend. And I'm scared for her a little bit.
I am too. Okay, so I know we've kind of all broken up with Dumois, but Dumois had this months ago.
Did they? Months and months ago.
And I saw it because I really like Hayley Atwell from when she was in Marvel, and she's done a lot of like British like period pieces. You know, I love that shit. And I just really like her. And I remember seeing it on there being like, no, like this can't happen. And then I forgot about it, like just repressed it.
Sure.
And then she showed up with him at Wimbledon. Everyone was like, oh, because she's in the Mission Impossible movie with him.
Right.
And people were like, they're dating, like, save her. And yeah, it's very worrying to me, to be honest.
I gotta say. I think it's interesting because there's always rumors of him dating a co-star. Like, Scientology always makes sure to put that out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I also think it's interesting because, like you're talking, Kate, you might know her as Peggy Carter in Captain America, or she was also in a really good episode of Black Mirror. Do you remember that one?
Ooh, yeah, she was.
Domhnall Gleeson. That was a good one. But I don't think she's ever like fully broken out as a star. But this relationship, maybe it could change things. I don't know.
Yeah, she's on that like sort of side thing where it's like a certain genre of the internet like really loves her, like me.
But
she's not like a real, especially she's here, like not a big celebrity.
She's not like a Margot Robbie or
Emma Stone. A fringe like internet girlfriend.
Yes,
sort of.
That's the perfect description.
But not like, not big. But yeah, I mean, if she dates Tom, I mean, at what cost, Haley? Like, I don't.
I know.
At what cost?
Yeah.
Oh, God. I hope it's not real for her sake, but who knows?
Yeah. Who knows?
They can be friends.
Yeah.
Last one.
And then lastly, Gwen Stefani and Blake Shelton got married July 3rd.
Finally.
I know, on his freaking ranch in Oklahoma. And do you know who was the officiant?
No. Who? Wait, can I guess?
Yes, yes.
It's got to be someone from The Voice. It's got to be fucking Adam Levine.
No.
Wait.
But you're close.
Is it the host? Is it the host?
Who's the host?
What's
of the
his name? Carson Daly. It's Carson Daly.
Carson Daly.
Carson Daly.
Yeah.
They could have had Adam Levine.
That's too committed to the bit. That's like too.
I know.
That, yeah.
What?
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Carson that's a choice.
Daily.
Yeah. That's like you can invite people from work to your wedding, but like you don't have to have them officiate the wedding. Like you have to have other friends.
Or if you do pick the really famous one who you're very, I mean, maybe they're very close. Carson Daly behind the scenes, but it feels
headlines.
Like Adam Levine is like the guy.
He's going to grab Kelly the Clarkson. Have Kelly Clarkson officiate the wedding. That'll be everywhere.
She'd be kick-ass.
Well, they probably don't get along with her because she's a good hang and I feel like they're tough, but you never know. Was Adam Levine there at least?
That's a great question. I think they said that there were a lot of voice people there. So. Yeah.
Weird. Yeah.
It's a cult.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting. Like it's okay. But you know, now with Ariana Grande joining, maybe they'll be BFF with her. That. And Dalton.
Oh,
my gosh.
Oh, Dalton. Oh, yeah.
Wow. Dalton, wow.
Interesting. Oh, yeah. I feel like we've taken a lot of pauses this podcast just to like really soak in this. There's a lot to process.
There's so much to process.
We're almost done though. We got one last category, Tea Time's unanswerable questions. Kate, go ahead.
Guys, new emojis have been announced. We cover them every time. I don't know why. I just like have a lot of feelings about emojis. But Emojipedia had the list of new emojis. A lot of like very inclusive emojis, a lot of like, you know, pregnant people, whether it's men or women or non-binary people, like a lot of sort of gender inclusive additions, which is really great. And then they got the finger hearts, which is fun for the K-pop fans out there. But my unanswerable question is, what emoji will you use from this list? Obviously, this is kind of tough for a podcast, but there's one emoji that I immediately saw and was like, this sums up everything that I need. And it's a smiling emoji that's kind of like sideways and then it's like melting.
Love that.
And it just really communicates like just smiling as the ship goes down.
Yes.
Sort of like existential dread. Like I'm doing what I can, but also like I'm melting. Real like pandemic vibes.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And I was like, it's kind of like for those of you who use emojis a lot, so the upside down smiley is a personal favorite. Really just conveys a lot of depth of emotion of like, this may as well happen. And I just feel like the melting emoji just really takes that to another level. What about you guys?
Yeah. I wonder why we have an emoji on Slack that, correct me if I'm wrong, but is not on the iPhone, which is the crying blood emoji.
I was going to ask you, and I use that constantly.
Yeah,
that
works.
That gets some heavy use in the Tea Time chat.
And so I'm waiting for them to do that, although that might be dangerous to start incorporating that in my personal life. But waiting for that one, but I do like the melting smile is really good.
Yeah, it's really like good. I still want like a true chef's kiss emoji. We have that on Slack as well.
But I don't think
they have that. They have like the Italian like molto bene like hand emoji, but they don't have the chef's kiss, which I do.
I would like to use that in my personal life. Didn't we just, I truly think we just had an update. Like, you know, the bubbly smiley that was like the bubble fades. So that was like literally just the other month.
I think this was announced now, but I think they're like not going to be everywhere until like late 2021. So maybe that's why.
Okay.
To use the melting one yet.
Makes sense.
Here's my question though. Like, when does it end? Like, does emoji just continue to create just hundreds and hundreds of these little mini graphics? Like in this new update, we have a slide, like a playground slide. We have a disco ball, which honestly is kind of fun. That was needed. But they have like a bird's nest with one with eggs and one without eggs. And it's like, what's going to happen? Are we just going to keep churning these out and we just have like, have every image known to man on this? I guess that'd be kind of
cool. That is how it goes. It's going to be like hieroglyphics to the Egyptians. We're just going to do it until we develop a better visual language.
Yeah.
Because they already have the search function, which was super needed. Otherwise, we talk a lot about the freaking scroll, but it's already impossible to find things on there, even with the search.
What about, so I'm looking at it right now, and I agree with you. I love the melting one. It kind of reminds me of the one that we recently got where it's like, do you know what I'm talking about? Where it's like,
with the wiggly mouth?
Yeah, the wiggly mouth.
Oh, sure, yeah.
I love that one. So that it's on that kind of smiley scale for me. Yeah, exactly. But, do you see the one that is a smiley, but it is like, and he's like tearing up?
Yes.
That
very concerned smiley.
Yes. However, that emoji looks like one of those off-brand emojis from like Microsoft.
It does.
It's, and for a second
it's
I was like,
a different visual style.
It is. The eyes are like completely insane. Why?
It's like the ones you use on Gmail and you're like, oh, that looks wrong.
Exactly. Yeah. Why? Why?
Yeah, I don't like that either.
It's so weird.
Who approved this?
I don't know. That is true, Amelia. That's like a catch.
They need to hire a tea time. I feel like we could do this.
Yeah.
We could do this job.
Well, and also they already have an emoji where the guy's eyes are like,
yeah, like, you know. Totally.
This is terrible podcast content.
This is so bad. Oh, we're having fun. So, it's fine.
Okay. Sorry. Okay.
That's, you know, question. All,
right. Let's move on.
I guess next question. And guess what? It's not even a question. It's a request. And that is, can we get an official Amelia Wedemeyer statement on Jerry O'Connell joining the talk and replacing Sharon Osbourne?
Yes.
Amelia, please.
Okay. Of all people, you're going to have, I'm no offense to Jerry O'Connell, okay? Like, I wish him the best, but who is this? I mean, I know who he is. He's like an actor, like maybe like C-list, D-list actor who I only know from Kangaroo Jack, which was released like 20 years ago. And he's married to Rebecca Romijn, or maybe it's Rebecca O'Connell now. I don't know. But he, it's weird to me because the talk is the, I think it's CBS's version of The View, which is like iconic, right? One of my favorite shows. But the whole thing about it, it's like supposed to be for, well, which I don't mean to, you know, say like men can't be on this show, but thing is like, okay, there, okay, so there, yeah. And but it's supposed to be like a round table of women because you don't always get to see that. Like you don't, you know, it's an all female group of women talking about issues and you don't always get to see that. And I'm just like, why bring on a straight white male? Of all types of people.
Right. And also, I've never seen this man before in my entire life. This is like a random man off the street.
It's so weird. It's a weird choice.
I have never heard his name. Choice. I have no idea why.
You've never seen his face, really?
No.
Have you seen Stand By Me? He's in that movie. He plays like a young child, but...
So like 40 years ago?
Okay, all right, okay. I think he has a face where you're like, oh yeah, okay, him.
Okay, maybe.
But then it's like, why is he on this TV show?
Maybe he has a great personality.
Yeah, but can I just say, this was his statement on it, which if this is any indication of how this is going to go,
I'm so
it's going to be tough. He just goes, here's his quote. It's fun and it works and we're going to have a lot of fun.
Oh my God. He says fun twice like that?
It's like a 15-word sentence. Like, that's it? It's fun and it works and we're going to have a lot of fun?
Oh, that's awful.
That is
this
insane.
This is a huge opportunity for you, Jerry O'Connell. You better be more eloquent than that.
Oh my, I just can't believe
excited.
He uses fun twice. Like, think of, go to thesaurus.com. Think of something else.
Like, and it works? You should be like thrilled that you're here in this hot seat.
Yeah, and this is like groundbreaking because you're the first man to be on like a host.
Unbelievable.
Okay. I just, the choice is kind of baffling to me, but it's just, you know, it's an off-brand version of The View. Just watch The View. And also, I don't know how I know this, but Jerry O'Connell's brother, Charlie O'Connell, was the freaking Bachelor like 15 years ago.
Wow.
And he did not come off great. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. He was kind of a player. So... I'm worried.
Yeah, that's not what you want.
So I'm not liking this. That's my opinion. Sorry. But
bizarre. Good.
You know,
that's good. That's we're agreed.
We'll have to see. We'll have to see, I guess. I don't know. I'm sorry. Oh, God. Okay.
Last question.
Yes. So the ice cream brand Van Leeuwen, I think that's how you pronounce it. They have decided to team up with Kraft Mac and Cheese. And they released a Kraft mac and cheese version of ice cream just the other day for, I think it was Macaroni and Cheese Day or something. And apparently, Kaya put this in here saying that this woman from Eater.com, Amy McCarthy, she tried it and she said, upon taking the first bite, I was freaking hooked. Well, she says I was hooked. I added the freaking. But this ice cream is, it's in like a blue little container, like, you know, the classic blue Kraft mac and cheese box. And then the ice cream itself is the color of Kraft mac and cheese. So it's like this really yellowy ice cream, I guess. And apparently it tastes good, but I'm scared. I don't know. So are you yay or nay on Kraft macaroni and cheese ice cream?
I would absolutely try it. I have to tell you. And like, I've been trying to eat healthy lately. So maybe this is just me being like, give me ice cream and Kraft mac and cheese. But cheese, like, how bad could it be? It's dairy. It's a dairy product. You kind of got, you know, I'm kind of trying to talk myself into it as I'm saying.
Like, cream cheese flavors play really well in ice cream. Like, yeah. Jenny's does it a lot.
Right. Yeah. Like the goat cheese ice cream that Jenny's has. Yeah, I would definitely try it. I don't know that I would like eat a whole bowl of it, but I would be optimistic about Kraft mac and cheese ice cream. Is that crazy?
You've got to try it. You got to find it, Kate, and let us know because I don't want to buy it. I think it's $12 in here. So, go get it and then tell us.
I'll make it myself. I'll get Kraft mac and cheese, pour the powder on top of vanilla ice cream and try it. I mean, that's basically what this is, right?
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that, but I feel like that's the same energy.
Well, she says it's a buttery flavor that's only slightly cheesy. So,
yeah.
I think I'll try it. That seems good to me. Sorry.
No.
All right. All right. Well,
great. Anyway. What an ending.
Yeah, what an ending.
Okay. Thank you guys so much for listening. We're back, baby. This is Thank you, Kai, our producer. And I'm Liz Kelly.
I'm Kate Howell.
And I'm Amelia Lundmeyer.